Good evening. This is a meeting of the Pacifica National Board. It is 8:39 p.m. Eastern Time on August 27th, 2020. My name is Alex Steinberg. I'm the chair of the board, and I'm convening this meeting. Madam Secretary, can you please call the roll?
Yes. Grace Aaron, KPFK listener, is here. Robin Collier, KCEI affiliate.
Present.
Good. Robin Collier is here. Chris Corey, KPFA listener.
Nope.
Chris, is that you?
No, he's not here.
Okay. Vanessa Dixon Briggs, WPFW listener.
Here.
Vanessa is here. Lyndon Foley, KPFT listener.
Here.
Lyndon is here. Dan Goodman, KPFK listener. Heather Gray, WRFG affiliate.
Here.
Good. Heather Gray is here. Sabrina Jacobs, KPFA staff. Wally
here.
James. Hey.
Wally's here.
Jacobs is here. Pardon me?
And Wally's here.
Good. Thank you, Wally. Wally James is here. Dwayne Lark, KPFT listener. Ron Pinchback, WPFW staff. Ralph Pointer, WBAI listener.
Here.
Good.
Can you hear me?
Ralph Pointer. Yes. Ralph Pointer is here. Sandra Rowland, KPFT listener.
Here.
Sandra Rowland is here. Lawrence Reyes, KPFK listener.
Here.
Lawrence Reyes is here. Sean Rhodes, WBAI staff.
Here.
Sean Rhodes is here. Eileen Rosin, WPFW listener. Eileen?
Here. I'm here, yeah.
Eileen Rosin is here. James Sagerton, WBAI listener. Nancy Sorden, WPFW listener. Alex Steinberg, WBAI listener.
Present.
Steinberg is here. Andrea Turner, KPFA listener.
Present.
Okay. Andrea Turner is here. Paulina Vasiliev, KPFK staff.
Present.
Good. Paulina Vasiliev is here. Tom Voorhees, KPFA listener.
Here.
Good. Tom Voorhees is here. We have
Ron here.
11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Ron Pinchback, WPFW staff, just signed in. So we have 17 people present constituting a quorum, Mr. Chair.
Okay. What about our interim executive director, interim chief financial officer, our legal counsel, and our parliamentarian?
Oh, sorry. All right, Lydia Brazone, interim executive director, are you here? Anita Sims, interim chief financial officer. Arthur Schwartz, Pacifica Council. John Tatum, parliamentarian.
I'm here.
Okay, John Tatum is here. The other three are not. Back to you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, the next item is excused absences. Do we have any requests for an excused absence? Nope. Okay. Well, hopefully the people who are not here yet will show up in a little while. Next item is timekeepers. Who would like to volunteer to be the timekeeper for topics?
This is Lawrence. Chair, I'd like to volunteer.
Okay. Thank you, Lawrence. And who would like to volunteer to be the timekeeper for people? Come on, don't be shy. Going once, twice. Okay, maybe when Jim gets on the call, we can ask him if he can do that.
Mr. Chair, this is the parliamentarian.
Yes.
If no one else wants to keep time of speakers, I can do it.
Oh, thank you. Okay, but I will ask Jim, who's been doing it much of the time, when he gets on the call. I assume he's just coming in a bit late. But thank you.
No
for
problem.
That. Yeah. Okay. The next item is the agenda approval, and let me read the agenda. Item number 2 is agenda approval, 5 minutes. Item number 3 is approval of the minutes for the August 6, 2020 open session, 3 minutes. Then there are committee reports, and those are parceled out into various sections of committees, most of them having 5 minutes, a couple of them less for some reason. And item number 5 is report from and Q&A from the IED. Item number 6 is a motion on LSB responsibility for posting and recording all LSB and committee meetings. That's a 10-minute item. Item number 7 is unfinished business, 8 new business, and we should be adjourning the open session no later than 10 o'clock. Do we have a motion to approve the draft agenda?
So moved.
Do we have a second? Is there a second?
Yeah, Chair, this is Lawrence. I second.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Does anyone want to offer any amendments or have any objections to the draft agenda? Okay.
Yes, this is Wayne Mark. I wish
Ann Goodman.
Okay, hold on. I heard Dwayne and Ms. Goodman, you are now present. I don't think you said you were present before, and I'll have you on. Okay, Dwayne, what is your, go ahead.
Fairly simple request. At the right after the agenda is approved, well, right after the minutes are approved or acknowledged, that we would have a moment of silence to acknowledge the death of African-American men and the 2 people that were shot and killed by some goon with an ARK rifle, as well as in solidarity, the NBA players and other sports players that are taking their platform and at least trying to bring to some semblance to America that it's not business as usual. So having said all of that, I'm basically asking for a moment of silence.
Excellent idea. Second. Okay. Any objections to that? Okay. Then that goes on the agenda right after minutes approval. Are there any further amendments or objections to the draft agenda?
Ann Goodman. Like to add,
Ms. Goodman, yes.
Hi, I would like to add a point onto the agenda with regard to the non-disclosure agreement procedures and mailing houses.
Okay, and how long do you want that item to be for?
8 minutes.
8 minutes, and where would you like to put it on the agenda? You want to put it before committee reports, after committee reports? What do you want to do with it?
Before committee reports.
Before committee reports. Okay.
Chair, I object. This is Mullins.
Hold on. We have a motion to add something to the agenda. We need a second if we're going to discuss it.
Chair, this is Chris Corey. I just want to let you know
yeah.
that I'm present, and I'll second that.
Okay. The motion has a second.
You know, we could put it if it would be satisfactory with Mr. Reyes, we could put it after committee reports.
Chair, may I speak? This is Lyons.
Okay. So I just want to get a definitive statement. You want it after the committee reports?
Yeah, we'll put it after the committee reports.
Okay.
In fact, between the IED report and the LSB responsibility, that one.
Hold on. I'm just trying to get where this motion is supposed to be. So you want it between the IED report and the motion on the LSB responsibility?
Yeah, between 5 and 6.
5.5? Okay.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure that's where you want it, because otherwise we'll go around in circles. Okay, so I guess there are some comments on that, so I'll take a stack. I think, Lawrence, you were first.
Yeah, I'm amendable. I just wanted to say that I'm amendable to the suggestion to put it in between 5 and 6.
Okay. Anybody else?
Yeah, this is Grace.
Yeah.
Yes, I think it should go in new business. The number 6 on the agenda, this has been on the agenda, and we've never gotten to it. It's been on the agenda for about 2 months. And I think that a new motion or a new subject should be properly placed in new business, and the board should be sent some sort of a motion or what this topic is all about that Jan is suggesting. I don't no motion was sent to me or to the board, I don't believe. And I'd like to know if there's a motion involved with this, and I'd like to amend Jan's placement to put it under 8, new business.
Okay, so we have an amendment to the proposed amendment. Is there a second?
Chair, I have a point of information.
What is your point of information, Lawrence?
I just agree to be amendable to what Jan suggested, but I also feel that Grace's point, it's good because it prevents a precedent setting. So I just wanted to know by you or the parliamentarian if I could second that motion.
Yeah, of course. I was just asking. Anybody
want
to
second
it?
There.
Okay.
I'll second it.
All right.
And a request for information, Mr.
Okay.
Chair, and that is there a motion involved with Jan's agenda item that she wishes to place on the agenda?
Ms. Goodman, can you answer that question?
Yes. First of all, this has not been at all on any agenda because it just came up today, and it is of interest to many members of Pacifica, and problems getting to new business, and it is something that we need to deal with. I will write a motion, and then we can discuss it. But I think that the earlier placement is better. It will make.
I'll pass on this item.
Okay, we're out of time for this item. Unless somebody wants to move for an extension, we have to go to a vote. What's on
okay,
the floor
I have
now?
Okay, I have a point of order, Mr. Chair.
What
and
is your point
is
of order?
That is that Jan's motion and request to place the motion on the agenda is not in the call for this meeting.
This is a special meeting, and what were the topics for this special meeting?
Okay, it says the call for the meeting says, emergency meeting, meeting to review committee business, financial expenditures and other reports, and unfinished business. Meeting called by Lawrence Reyes, Helena Vasiliev, et cetera, et cetera. So this is,
I think this is
unfinished business.
No, it never came up. I think Director Aaron is correct on that. We are having a regular meeting next week, and this item can be brought up then.
No, this is, may I speak?
Well, I'm ruling the motion out of order because it is not covered by the topic for this special meeting.
Okay, this is unfinished business, which does fall under the, and it's unfinished business because the motion that was passed with regard to election using mail houses was incomplete, and it needs to be more detailed, and so it is unfinished business.
Well, it may be unfinished business as far as you're concerned, but it's not unfinished business as far as the board is concerned, because we didn't discuss this, and we never had a motion to postpone something till this meeting on this particular topic. So I'm gonna rule it out of order. You can bring it up at next week's meeting.
It is time is of the essence. I'm trying to eliminate involving more people, more lawyers, and everything. I just want to get something simple taken care of.
Well, if it's a legal matter, then you could bring it up in the closed session. Actually,
it's an open session issue. It's not something I
have no way to know that from the kind of the
chair point of order.
You gave.
Chair point of order. Point of order. You've made your ruling.
See what it is, and then we can.
Ryan,
you jump in the back. I asked first.
Sorry.
Okay. What is your point of order, Mr. Reyes?
My point of order is that you made a ruling, and Jan is discussing the merits of her issue, and I think that's completely out of order. And I say that we go to a vote. Either Jan appeals your ruling, or we go to a vote. I believe that's what's in order, Chair. Thank you.
And in addition, we're also out of time, so we have to just go to a vote. So the vote is, are you appealing my ruling, Ms. Goodman?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So we'll go to a vote on my ruling. If you vote yes, that means you're voting to uphold my ruling. If you vote no, you're voting to overrule my ruling. Madam Secretary, could you take the vote on this?
Yes. Grace Aaron votes yes to uphold the ruling of the chair. Robin Collier?
Pass.
Okay. Chris Corey?
Abstain.
Right. Vanessa Dixon-Briggs?
Yeah.
Okay. Lyndon Foley?
No.
All right. Dan Goodman?
No.
All right. Heather Gray?
Yes.
Okay. Sabrina Jacobs?
Abstain.
Okay. Wally James?
No.
Right. Dwayne Lark? Dwayne Lark? To uphold the ruling of the chair or not? Ron Pinchback?
Yes.
Okay. Ralph Pointer?
Yes.
Okay. Sandra Rollin?
No.
Right. Lawrence Reyes?
Yes.
Okay. Sean Rhodes?
Yes.
Okay. Eileen Rosen?
Yes.
Okay. James Sagerton? Nancy Sorden? Did somebody just join? Okay. I'll continue. Andrea?
No, I didn't see anybody.
Okay. Andrea Turner-Dixon? I'm sorry, Andrea Turner?
Abstain.
Okay. Polina Vasiliev?
Yes.
Okay. Tom Voorhees?
Yes.
Okay. Robin Collier, you passed.
I'll abstain.
Okay. Dwayne Lark, you there?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, very good. James Sagerton? Okay, I don't think he's here yet. And Nancy Sorden? Okay, so I'm going to count up. We have 11 yeses. We have 4 noes and 4 abstentions. Mr. Chair, do you wish to vote?
Yes.
Okay. So the final vote is 12 yes, 4 noes, and 4 abstentions. The ruling of the chair is upheld.
Okay. The only now we have to go to a vote on the draft agenda as amended. The only amendment was to add the moment of silence. So, are there any objections to the draft agenda as amended? Okay, then the draft agenda as amended has been adopted. And the next item is the approval of the minutes of the August 6, 2020 meeting. Does anybody have any corrections to offer for those minutes? Okay, then those minutes are approved, and they can always be corrected later. And the next item is a minute of silence. In honor of the man that was killed in Kenosha, Wisconsin, and the two protesters that were murdered the other night in Kenosha, Wisconsin, and the incredible act of solidarity shown by the players of the NBA and other athletic association. So we'll have a moment of silence. Mr. Tatum, could you let us know when that moment is finished?
Yes, sir. Mr. Chair, that time has expired.
Yes, and I want to correct myself. The person in Kenosha that I was thinking of, he was not killed, but he was shot 7 times and apparently is now paralyzed from the waist down, according to his relatives. Horrible, horrible thing. Anyway, we have now committee reports. First item is a report from the Audit Committee. Eileen, do we have a report from the Audit Committee?
No, we do not.
Okay.
Nothing new there.
Okay, thank you. Next item is a report from the coordinating committee. Is there a report from the coordinating
committee? Can we have a
question?
Can we have a question for the audit?
Why not? We have 3 minutes allotted to it. Go ahead.
When did the audit begin? When do you think it's going to be completed?
I can't answer that now, Lyndon, but I will find out and report next week.
Okay, thank
okay?
you.
The 2019, okay. Yeah. I will make a note.
Okay, thank you. Do we have a report from the coordinating committee? Nope. Okay. What about the finance committee? James? I don't think he's on yet, is he?
I don't think so.
Could somebody give him a call? He's been having trouble with his power recently. I hope that hasn't come back. Okay, then let's move on to the governance committee. Lawrence, is there any report from the governance committee?
Brief report there. The governance committee, as you know, because I emailed you, and I need to consult. Maybe this is more of a matter of executive session, because there's some named employees and a name of a former employee that the governance committee is struggling with to determine whether they is within their scope and then I'm going to leave it there within their scope to address that issue. And then the rest of my report, I submitted it to the PMB.
Okay, that sounds like something that should be brought up in closed session. Okay, I agree. All right, then let's move on to the report from the personnel committee. That's also you, Lawrence.
Yeah. I send the report to the to the PMB about an hour ago. I hope you received it. It should be in your inbox. Essentially, we're going to be receiving resumes and a timeline from Livingston and Associates. Everything that I sent to you is somewhat confidential, but I think some questions could be asked. Livingston and Associates, Tom Livingston, I'm sorry. I know a guy named Bob Livingston. Tom Livingston will be attending the next personnel committee, which is scheduled for September 7th at 8:30 Eastern time. Put that in your calendars, personnel committee members. So that's the report. I had about a 15-minute conversation with Mr. Livingston. The invoice has been paid. That has been authorized, and we received the payment last week. We're about to begin the search. So I'm really looking forward to working with everybody. And we'll be reporting on a regular basis to the Pacifica National Board. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Lawrence.
I have a question.
Okay, go ahead.
Can members of the PNB who are not members of the Personnel Committee listen to the meeting? Of course, not participate, but make it available for members of the PNB to listen, since this is of such primary concern to all of us.
Let me answer that in general. A director has the right to sit in on any committee meetings. It's just that sometimes there may be logistical problems. If it's, say, a meeting that's in closed session, we may not have a recording for you to listen to, so you would have to listen to it in real time. But go ahead, Lawrence.
Yeah, I'm kind of hesitant because of the sensitive nature of the business that the personnel committee is undertaking right now. And there was some inconsistencies with the prior chair of the personnel committee, and I'm not going to mention any names, but that kind of stuff that happened at the last convening of the personnel committee raises concerns for me, for Ms. Goodman to be at that meeting, in particular in executive session, where some things, and I'm not saying that she's already been put on notice in regards to other stuff that I can't mention. But so I have a concern about that, yeah. And I think the committee should make that decision.
Okay, let's not get into a discussion of individuals. I'm just trying to speak in general. In general, members of the board of directors have a right to sit in on any committee. There may be sometimes special circumstances where we may want to restrict that, but in general, they do have the right to sit in on any committee meeting. Ms. Goodman, did you have anything to add?
Yes, I want to clarify this, and I'm happy to clarify in an open session. If there's, you know, some kind of underlying idea that I personally did something, and if I personally did something, I would like to know what it was, and I would like to have it discussed in an open session. I don't want this, you know, some kind of like I did something and therefore I shouldn't be in closed session. That's like removing me from my position, and I want to talk about what that might be in open session so that everybody can hear about
it. Point of order?
What is the point of order, Mr. Reyes?
I think Ms. Goodman is out of order, because the decisions that were made in regard to looking at the issues was made in executive session. So to request, she requested that the last time, and she was, it was not well-founded, and I don't think this is well-founded either, because those decisions were made in executive session. Thank you, Chair.
All right. Let's discuss this further. If we need to discuss this further, it probably should be discussed in executive session, and again, try to keep the discussions without referencing any particular individual. Okay, let's go on then. Do we have a report from the programming committee?
This is Paulina.
Paulina?
I'm part of the programming committee. So is Heather Gray. I was not at the last meeting. The committee has been meeting every 2 weeks. The last meeting was August 23rd, which I had to miss due to health reasons. But if Heather was there, perhaps she could report. All I have is a message from the chair of the committee, Nancy Saibara-Naritomi, or chair pro tem. Who says that they're working on deciding the safest way to ask local station boards and non-local station board members, experienced programmers, for input on programming improvement. And I know that there are many, many initiatives that they're looking at that are great to involve the community, as well as to establish a way for volunteer programmers to have a clear grievance process with PDs and many other things. I don't know if Heather wants to add to that. Thank you.
Heather, did you have anything you wanted
I think that's a wonderful report. I don't know how I could add to that. It's great. Thank you.
Okay. All right.
Mr. Chair, this is Chris Corey. Can I be recognized?
Yes. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, I can give a brief report for the Finance Committee if you'd like. If it would please the committee. I mean, if it would please the board.
Yeah, especially since the chair is not here yet. Go ahead.
Okay. So we spent the time discussing mostly budgetary matters, but we also went over the July 31st financials, gave it our first initial review. I hadn't actually seen them before. For some reason, despite a search of my entire inbox, I couldn't find them. But we did review them, and Anita presented them. and they were a little bit distressing, which is why I was hoping you'd allow me to speak. Four of the five stations are now reporting losses in the six-month review period. Actually, all five are, but one station is reporting just a minor loss of 3%. That was KPFA. The other four stations are all in the minus 20% category. There was some objection raised, however, by WBAI. So I'm presuming that ANITA and WBAI will reconcile and decide, and determine where the errors are on and on whose side. I'm presuming it probably has something to do with the PPP funding, because it's a very difficult thing to get your head around when you have an expense that is not being paid by you and being paid by somebody else. In this case, the national office is paying for some payroll through their own account rather than having it directed through the accounts of the individual stations. So I think that once that's resolved, we'll have a clear picture of exactly what's going on. But the general impression that one would have to get is that the overall finances of Pacifica are declining, and that we're reaching a point where we're going to have serious discussions about what to do at the individual stations. So I'm hoping that everybody who receives notice, when notice is given, I'm presuming it's going to be given by either ANITA or the NFC or the PMB or somebody regarding the continuing losses at the individual stations, that they'll be quick to get back to the PNB with their suggestions for what to do about those individual problems. So that's all.
Time has expired.
Unless somebody. Well, perfect.
Time has
that's
expired
all
for the speaker.
Okay. Thank you, Chris.
You are.
I'd like to move to extend a few minutes. This is Ron.
Okay. How much time would you like to extend?
3 minutes. 5 minutes.
We have 3 minutes left on this item, so I just want Ron to know.
Okay. Well this question, is you want to extend the discussion from the Finance Committee for another 3 minutes, right?
Right. Yes.
Okay. Well, do we have a second?
No.
I second that.
Okay. Whatever.
Okay. Objections?
Mr. Chair, interruption. Sorry.
Yes.
If there are 3 minutes left on this item, then the motion to extend 3 minutes is out. You have 3 minutes left. You don't need to vote for 3 minutes.
Oh, okay. So it's just that the way the agenda was written up is just times for each section, but I don't think anybody's been paying attention to that so far. So let's continue the discussion on the Finance Committee. Does anybody want to get on the stack in relation to that?
No, this is Ron.
Go ahead, Ron.
Yeah, my question is, this is Chris Corey's interpretation of events and the meetings, or is his assessment the assessment of the entire committee? There was a committee involved in this. I know the chair is not there, but I just want some clarity on that. Is this his personal interpretation, or is this the interpretation of that committee?
Did you answer that, Mr. Corey?
Sure. Actually, I think my general reply would be that it's not really an interpretation. This is from, I'm summarizing from ANITA's report. So this is all in the supplement.
Did the committee agree with your assessment?
The committee never agrees with the assessment. The assessment is entirely up to the chair. But I think the practice for committee reports is not necessarily to have the chairman report. So if you're asking whether this is my opinion or not, I can answer that directly. No, it's not my opinion.
It is your opinion. I wanted to hear what the committee came back with. I wanted to hear what represents the committee, not just your opinion.
The committee doesn't speak as a whole. You can ask Alex about this. He was there for me.
Then you know what? Then end of conversation. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Let me, I have a question, Chris.
Sure. Go ahead, Alex.
The estimate of this of the loss in revenue, how does that compute with the PPP funding we're getting? Because while I do understand that there has been a strain on revenue due primarily to COVID and the changes in behavior that's created, which is not good for radio broadcasting in general, we have had this boost from the PPP funding for the last 2 months. So how has that been taken into account? Are the payroll checks that are coming from the national office, are they credited as extra revenue for the stations, or how is that being done?
Okay, so I just want to check on time to make sure that I have enough time to answer this question. How much time do we have remaining?
There's 20 seconds left, Mr. Carter.
Can I move to extend for let's say 2 minutes?
Sure. Do we have a second?
I second that.
Robin will second that.
Nancy okay. here.
Hi, Nancy. Okay. Do we have any objections to a 2 minute extension? Okay. Go ahead, Chris.
Okay. It's actually a really complicated question. And that's why I needed a little extra time, and I appreciate it. Thank you. So the short answer to the question is that the expenses are the expenses, no matter whether we get PPP funding or not. But that doesn't, that probably doesn't really address the meat of your question, which is, from a cash flow perspective, how does this look? And the answer is that our cash flow picture is, of course, quite a bit better due to the PPP funding. So what I want to say to everybody, and what I hope everybody will be able to appreciate and understand, is that the expenses of each individual station are still the expenses of each individual station, whether or not the PPP funding comes to them through the national office. And what I mean by that is that once that funding runs out, if our station budgets are not in order, then we won't be having a sustaining operation. So this is our opportunity, looking at the actual expenses, including payroll, versus revenues that are coming into each individual station, to get those two numbers in line with one another. And if they're not in line with one another by the time the PPP funding has run out, which I guess it already has, or I think maybe it just did or something, then, but we won't be able to actually see that until the end of August, because that's when the August report will come in, and then we'll see how these numbers start to shift. But each individual station should be reporting as if it did not receive PPP funding. In other words, it should be taking those payroll expenses into account as if they were still their expenses, even if those are being met by an external source. I'm sorry if that was confusing and didn't make sense. I would be happy to try and explain it better, but it is a little bit weird
Linden
and complicated.
Linden for the stack.
Chair, we out of time for this item? Chair, we are out of time for this item, for the extension.
Alex, are you mute?
I'm sorry, I was mute. So we are out of time for this item, and we have to go on to the next item. And that's the report from the IED. Is Lydia on the call yet?
Yeah, I've been on since 5:40.
Oh, okay. Well, the floor is yours, Lydia.
Okay. So the good news, a little bit of good news maybe, that finally, and I have long suspected this was might have been an issue, having gone through the PPP issue. Now I'm talking about the EIDL loan. So after all this time, and as I've mentioned before, am I echoing all the way around? Or is it just, do I just hear it?
I can hear you fine.
No, you're good.
Okay.
You're fine.
Okay. So as you know, I had gone to to Senator Harris's office, and it seems to have yielded something. I had expressed my concern that even though when I was on the phone with SBA, and this was back in June, that we got Berthold on the phone to corroborate and confirm that he had withdrawn his application, which was always the problem, is the duplicate application for the EIDL loan. And so my concern was that it wasn't like a paper withdrawal, or there wasn't any confirmation other than the fact that every time I called SBA subsequent to that, they confirmed that they had the note there and everybody agreed that that was the duplicate application. Nevertheless, so then on Monday, I wrote to the senator's office again, because they had said, if you have not heard anything in a week, please contact us. So I did that, and then articulated my concern again and sent them our confirmation of our application, which says our application expires September 30th. So we have to get this done right away. Anyway, so today Berthold received a phone call from SBA directly asking him if he still wanted to withdraw the application after all this time. Can you imagine? Anyway, and so, of course, he said yes, and they confirmed the number of the application, which Berthold texted to me, and I confirmed, yes, that's the one that we want voided. And so I can only assume that when I check back tomorrow, things will be finally moving. That has been the impediment all along. When the same thing happened with PPP, the moment that there was confirmation that the BAI application was the duplicate, our application went through very rapidly. So I'm hopeful for the, you know, that's how that will go. Besides that, in addition to that, of course, I'm swamped with emails responding to our emails and some, you know, very positive things in relation to the email we send out about what we've done so far. I've received some phone calls about that, with just also some suggestions, because they're trying to link to our Facebook page and so on and so forth, so they can share that letter with others. So that's been a positive. And some good comments and emails regarding the convention coverage, and that was somewhat challenging at times. We had to switch up the Republican convention coverage from PFW at the last minute to KPFA. But nevertheless, having overcome all that, we kind of got through the month. So let's hope that now that we have depleted the benefits of PPP, that the EIDL loan does come through and give us a little bit more of a respite. And what this does, it's not like this is, you know, the end all or the solution to our problems, but even the PPP gave us a chance to catch up in certain areas and to delineate where even catching up is simply not enough when it comes to payroll and so forth. And so we have to be realistic about where we are with our finances all the way around, which I know we're all working on very diligently, and it has to be both, where we do the positive and definitely try to increase our listenership and be realistic about that as well, and then economize wherever possible and employ reduction standards when and where needed. So that's about that, but I will let the board know immediately. I expect to be able to check tomorrow and see some movement as a result of this withdrawal. And I'll also notify the senator's office and thank them, because I'm sure that's what moved it forward. That's about it.
Linda,
Ron did that.
Ron did us that.
Hello. Alex? Did you want me to just call on people?
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I was muted again.
Linda?
Robin.
Ron. Robin?
I might be stealing Robin's question, but Robin had asked or brought up the amount of the EIDL loan, and I never saw a reply to his question about, is it 2.4 million, is it 2 million, or is it 150,000?
Yeah, it's 150,000. No, what they had on the initial application was 2 million as the max. I do know they fold in some of the PPP, but I don't know what formula they're using. We won't know because they've never given us the portal to send in our documentation upon which that they will use to determine the amount that they will give us. But 2 million was what it showed at the time we applied.
Okay. Ron?
Robin, I asked to be on the set.
Yeah, I have you. Ron was before you, I think.
Yeah, I'm here.
And okay, Jan for the stack, please.
Okay, I got you, Jan. Go ahead, Ron.
Lydia, thanks for the perseverance, number one, okay? Thanks for the perseverance. Keep it moving. I have a question regarding the stations and their pledge drives. All of the stations have, believe, either in drive or will be in drive. Do you have any numbers regarding that or any trends? I'm glad to report that W is, on track to make its projected goal. And I'm assuming these goals, that all goals are based on the income needs at the station. And we heard a report earlier saying that the stations were, desperately behind. So I'd like for you to comment, on that, and if you can. And I'll just listen for your response. Thank you.
No, but I'm gonna write that down so I can get a specific input from the individual general managers. I know Anyel had sent something, but about how they did in the drive. PSW, the past couple of times they've done well, and DAI had done well. But let me get some, I'll get those and send them by email so that I'm not misquoting people and I'm a little bit more accurate, and that they're a little bit more accurate because if they're in fund drive, they are not always as specific on their numbers. But as far as I know, PFW was doing well. And also we had the interruption of the two conventions back to back, which interrupted a little bit of the fund drive, although, they're evening hours and whatever. But nevertheless, it still takes a lot of work during the day to just get that coverage done. So, but I'll get that and send it out by email.
Okay. Robin?
Yeah, I got you. Yeah, an issue has come up with affiliates. For several months, they've been trying to get the statements from the credit card that's shared by the national office and the affiliates. And apparently, probably because you're just so busy with everything else, but Anita can't get it. Tamara can't get it.
I can't get it. Yeah.
You can't get it?
I can't get it. I will eventually. Somewhere. That's the next thing as soon as I get past this EIDL bump to get back with B of A. I'm just on B of A trying to establish that I am now and always have been a U.S. resident. So, I'm very serious. I spent countless hours of like a week and a half trying to get. First of all, I had told Ursula that I would try to get them a separate credit card also. But I can't see any reason why they shouldn't have their own credit card with a limit. And she told me the limit, 5, would be enough monthly or whatever. But anyway, meanwhile, we wanted to have online access for the statement.
And so I went through their unit that applies, that does that, and all everybody, you know, that they're all using encrypted secure box that they use, right? Which is fine. I scan the documents, fill out the documents, send it to the person. For some reason, then they couldn't see it, and then they asked three times, and then I sent it three more times, and then they said, oh, okay, we've got it, we can see it, we're going to bump it up to the next level. They bump it up to the next level, so you would assume when they bump it up to the next level, it includes that same application. So then they said, well, why do you want this online access? Again, it was the same thing. Fill out the whole paperwork again as to why we want online access. Can you believe this? And so they can't see it. So then I send it again, like three more times. So then I got our personal banker involved, and he says, oh, okay, well, send me the stuff again. So now we're at a week and a half of taking up most of my day just scanning and sending this stuff. And finally I had to break it off and do, you know, other work. And so I'm going to circle back to that. Tomorrow I'm following up diligently on this EIDL loan, both by phone and with the senator's office. And then next week I plan to devote myself for the next week and a half, a good portion. That's between having to establish the exact same information with Wells Fargo, trying to get them access to Wells Fargo banking, which I thought all of the documents were completed, and it's, you know, kind of like the same thing. If a comma is missing, you go through it. And it has been a nightmare. I've never gone through this much. It must be, it's new banking regulations for all of the banks, apparently, and they're doing these added levels of security. That's fine, except that it's unworkable. So, but there you are. Yeah, we would love to know what our bank statements are so we can pay the bill. Anyway, that's the... The nightmare,
Chair,
that I live
we
every
are the
day.
Time for this item. Excuse me, Lydia. We are the time for this item, Chair. Chair? Time has expired for this item, Chair.
Sorry, I was muted. Does anybody want to make a motion to extend for another 5 minutes?
Jan Goodman, so
nope.
Moved. Jan Goodman, so
okay.
Moved.
Okay.
Second.
Second. Are there any objections? Okay, then we'll just continue with the stack. I think Jan was next.
Hi. So I had a question, two questions actually. One is, can you tell us what we're slated to do with this $2 million, and or what the limitations are, perhaps. Also, we have this National Fund Drive Day coming up, and are we focusing on something in particular for that?
I'm sorry, the National Fund Drive Day that I'm going to do? It's going to be a refreshed grid with, no, it's not Yumi, is it thematic? No. It's not thematic.
Okay. Well, maybe we can think of some theme. You, we, whoever, people will often like to give to something specific. So, okay. But thank you.
My plan is to highlight everything that is we're in this historic year, obviously, on so many levels. That we have, for example, when we were focusing on COVID, obviously, after everything that happened, we added race to it. So it's that kind of a thing, that we have COVID, we have race, we have the elections, we have, you know, it just goes on and on. So what I have in my head are prominent people in all to speak on all of those issues that we normally don't hear from, but that are very well known, and that's what I'm peppering it with. And I'm focusing on hosts that have fundraising experience in terms of pitching and so forth, not necessarily from Pacifica.
Okay.
And Are there limitations on this $2 million loan that we're hoping for?
We don't know. I mean, they gave you very little information in terms of what they initially put out, other than 30 years, $2 million, and that's all they asked. All you can do is glean from some of the questions that they asked. So they asked, did you apply for PPP? We said, yes, that's all. But we've never had the portal to send in our application and have them say, you know, you get the full $2 million and blah, 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 and it's a loan and, you know, so on and so forth. It's somewhat different from PPP. And even with PPP, as you'll recall, they adjusted the criteria for it and the benefits to it and tweaked it along the way. So it's kind of a Christmas Day surprise. And we're anxious to upload our documents. But now, like, this is the first time I've seen movement beyond everyone at SBA telling me everything's going to be okay. anyway.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Chris, your turn.
Yeah, thank you. So regarding the question just asked, I've obtained an EIDL loan, and the only two limitations that I know of on it, and Duane can comment on this as well. He's pretty up to speed on it. The only two limitations I know of are that you can't repay loans with it. That's one. And you can't buy stuff with it, like, you know, capital goods. Like, you can't go out and buy a building or a car or something like that. Those are the only two limitations that I'm aware of. So I'm just saying that from my own personal experience. I don't know how accurate that is. Regarding the earlier comment about the trailing losses for stations, I want to make it clear that what I was talking about was the six-month review period that's required by the PNB. So for the six-month review period, we have four stations that are in the -20% or more loss on a percentage of revenue category right now. Of course, KPFK is one of them, but the other three stations other than KPFA, all the stations other than KPFA are falling into that category. As far as the year-to-dates are concerned, all the stations are losing money with the exception of KPFA, which is basically breaking even. So I just wanted to make it clear what the actual numbers are. And, you know, if PFW wants to dispute these numbers, that's great. Go ahead and dispute them and figure out where the errors are, and then we can revise the report. That's what this conversation is about, and that's why getting these numbers out is important. But review it with your local treasurer. They have the numbers in their possession. I encourage it. Thank you.
Chair, this is Lawrence, our timekeeper.
Yes, Lawrence.
So we have 30 minutes, and we have 23 minutes before 18 minutes before we go into executive session, and we still have an item on the agenda that's 10 minutes long. Thank you.
This is James. I just got on the call.
James. Okay. Well, we could have used your input earlier, but it's a bit late at this point.
Sure, we're out of time.
We're out of time on this item. Okay, the next item on the agenda is a motion on LSB responsibility for posting and recording all LSB and LSB committee meetings. This is coming from Grace Aaron. Grace, do you want to read this motion?
Yes, I will. Whereas it is necessary that all local station board meetings, as well as LSB committee meetings, be properly noticed on KPFTX, and whereas, due to COVID-19, in-person meetings are now being held by teleconference, significantly increasing the workload of Pacifica personnel to the point where the situation has become untenable, therefore be it resolved that the officers of Pacifica local station boards arrange for, 1, the posting of all local station board meetings as well as LSB committee meetings on KPFTX, 2, the streaming of all above meetings when desired, 3, the recordings of all meetings, 4, that all meeting recordings be made available to Otis McClay within 24 hours of the meeting being held, and that the name of the meeting as well as the date and time the meeting started and ended be communicated. Further, be it resolved that PNB directors make sure that the above protocol be put in place as soon as possible, including assigning people to post, stream if needed, record meetings, and ensure that the agendas, minutes, and recordings are posted on kpftx.org. It should be noted that only national meetings will be streamed on KPFTX. Further, be it resolved that LSV officers and PNB directors ensure that community advisory board meetings are being held on a regular basis, that they are posted, streamed when desired, and recorded as stated above. That's it.
Chair, this is Lawrence. May I be recognized?
We need a second for this.
Oh, that's right.
Vanessa, so moved.
Okay. Okay. Lawrence, did you want to comment?
No, I have an amendment. My amendment has to do with ensuring LSV officers and PNB directors ensure that the community advisory boards meetings are being held on a regular basis. I'd like to strike that whole session because according to CPB policies and procedures, the community advisory boards are supposed to remain independent from the governance structure of Pacifica. So I'd like to strike that last sentence. And, I'd like to strike that last sentence as is written right now because I think it's up to the station to run carts. But it's not up to the governance structure of Pacifica to, for lack of a better word, meddle with the community advisory board meetings. So because they are an independent entity and they need to remain so. Thank you.
Let me just respond. I mean, we could remove that from the motion. I don't think it would hurt it, but I don't think this is meddling in the community advisory boards. This is simply saying that they need to meet and they need to be, follow open meeting procedures and post their meetings and things like that. And that is a requirement. So I don't think there's anything wrong with saying that, but I don't think there's anything wrong with taking it out of this motion if that's what you want to do.
That's what I'd like to do. It's not in the bylaws either, Chair.
Dan Goodman, if needed, I second Lawrence's motion.
Okay.
Yeah,
Grace, go ahead.
Ron to the stack.
Maybe take Ron first.
Okay.
Ron asked for me.
Okay, Ron, go ahead.
I understand the effort. I do. My question, though, is the capacity of these LSBs to fulfill it. We can give them a mandate, but this is going to require some work. in terms of making sure that this stuff is distributed, properly and so on and so forth. So, somebody has to be responsible for all of that. So I'm not objecting to the motion, but I just wanted to let people know that to implement this, the LSBs are going to have to be, somebody's going to have to do it. Okay, thank you.
This is Lydia.
Can you put me on the back?
I have some information.
After everybody has spoken, Chair.
Okay. Let me give Lydia a chance.
No. Take Grace first. She says she has information.
Yeah, I have information.
Okay. Go ahead, Grace.
Okay, this is from the CPB website, and it says here, Stations Oversight of CAB. The Act requires that stations make good faith efforts to ensure that, 1, the CAB meets at regular intervals, 2, the CAB members regularly attend its meetings, and 3, the CAB reasonably represents the diverse needs and interests of the communities served by the station. So it is true that the Community Advisory Board, their inner workings and decisions should not be interfered with by either governance or management of the station, but it's absolutely the stations and the board's governance responsibility to ensure that there is a community advisory board at each station, and that the stations make a good faith efforts to ensure that the CAB meets at regular intervals, the CAB members regularly attend its meetings, and the CAB reasonably represents the diverse needs and interests of the communities served by the station. There are other things in here that I don't have time to really look over, but it is the responsibility of governance and management to ensure that CABs exist and that these criteria are followed. So I think that it wouldn't be good to eliminate this from this motion. I think it's good to have it in there.